Are you in the shadow of the cross,
when the Savior
took your place? By the cross you'll lead us to the home above. There we'll see Him face to face.
Sing it number three again.
There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. On the sea of life they toss. May we be a light and teach them how to live in the shadow of the cross. Are you living in the shadow of the cross, where the Savior took your place? By the cross you'll lead us to the home above. There we'll see Him face to face.
I want him to sing that third verse one more time. The founder of the Salvation Army was General Wilkes Booth. He had a dream one night, and in that dream, he dreamed that he was pulling people out of the ocean. They were drowning. And he was the founder of the Salvation Army. But he had a dream that he was pulling people out of the drowning sea. And he was trying to get others to help him. And as he was trying to get others to help him, the dream was so real he woke up and he founded the Salvation Army. But as he had this dream, he said, I was asking people to help me. And they was over there playing games, playing the guitar and talking and doing all kind of stuff. And no one but him was reaching in that stormy sea to pull out the ones that were perishing. And that I thought about that. It said, there are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. On the sea of life they toss. I thought about that. I read that testimony. General Wilkes Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army.
I will meet you in the morning, just inside the eastern gate. Just inside the eastern gate over there, I will meet you. I will meet you. I will meet you in the morning over there. If you hasten off to glory, linger near the eastern gate. Happy meeting, just
just inside the eastern gate. I will meet you just inside the eastern gate over there. I will meet you in the morning over there. Amen. Hang on to them, Molly. We'll sing that again. Amen. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. I'm glad there is a meeting place. I'm aiming to go to the meeting. I've been invited, and so have you. Don't miss it. Amen.
Let me give you this for forgiveness.
Thank you, Brother Melvin.
Alrighty.
Alrighty. Let me say this morning, good to have everybody that's here. I told Melvin one place there in the Bible. He talked about David, his mighty men. And it said that one of his mighty men slew a lion on a snowy day. My pastor preached a message on that one day, and I thought within myself, boy, how are you going to make a message out of that? Boy, he done a good job, amen. I'm not no singer, but it's in my heart. When I say it's in my heart, I just mean if I could get out of this, I would. But I want to sing this song this morning. Bear with me. I'm certainly of no talent whatsoever, but this song's in my heart, very heavy, and I want to try to sing it this morning. I finally found a book over there and had it in it. I thought, well, I ain't going to get singing. I'm going to get out of it. But I did find one. It won't be very long till this short life shall end. It won't be very long till Jesus shall descend. And then the dead in Christ from beds of clay shall rise to meet the Lord and King up yonder in the skies. It won't be long, it won't be very long till Jesus shall appear. That day's drawing near. Will you be ready then to meet the ransom throne? Get ready for that day. It won't be very long. It won't be long. It won't be very long till Jesus shall appear. That day is growing near. Will you be ready then to meet the ransom throne? Get ready for that day. It won't be very long. I would sing all four of those verses. And I'll tell you right now, that song come to me this week, pressed upon me heavily, and there may be a time I may sing all four of them. I feel led to preach right now, but the thought of that song, how true that is, it won't be very long till the Lord comes back. Amen. All right, 2 John, right in front of Revelation. It's only one chapter. If you can find it right in front of the book of Revelations, we'll take our text from there. But we'll be preaching from several places in the Bible. 2 John, right in front of the book of Jude, right in front of the book of Revelations. And we'll read verse number 8. I could read the whole chapter. There's only 13 verses there. But we want to make good use of our preaching time this morning. And I don't know that I'll be long. I don't know that I won't be long. I'll do the best I can, be as brief as I can this morning. But I'm glad for the opportunity to preach from the Word of God. Then we'll look this morning, 2 John, verse number 8. The Bible says, look to yourselves, that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. And I want to take that one verse right there, and I've preached from it before, but I want to preach this morning on some things we've lost. I mean, things that we've already lost. Then you pray with me and pray for me, please. Lord, we thank you this morning for the privilege. And Lord, I do say that word, privilege. Paul said he thanked God for counting him faithful and putting him in the ministry. What a privilege it is to preach from the Word of God. High calling. Lord, I'm certainly not no pedigree preacher. Lord, just for lack of a better word, just a poor man. A Lord rich in God, and that's about it. But I do pray, dear Father, this morning, you squeeze my heart this morning. Give me, Lord, abilities that I don't possess. Lord, fill my horn with oil, anoint me from on high, put wind in my sails. Give me, Lord, I pray, Lord, the ability to deliver this message as You've given it to me, and I'll give You all the praise and all the glory. And Father, I pray for these that are here this morning, that they might receive this message. I pray for those that will be hearing this message by way of the internet, that they'll also receive it. And may You receive all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' blessed name, I'll ask it. Amen. I've only got 2 points this morning, but they're fairly lengthy. And I want to do my best to spend as much time on those 2 points as I can. But to the church this morning, and to the lost is the 2 points. Let me say to the church this morning that we've lost our vision for lost souls. And the Bible does say in Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 18, that where no vision is, the people perish. And instead of having a vision of lost souls, nowadays we got television, cell phones, and we got internet and all that stuff. And I do believe they're devices of Satan to keep us so busy that we won't be able to be about our Father's business. But I want you to know, buddy, we do need to get a vision of lost souls. Amen. Job chapter 16, verse 21. Job said, oh, that a man might plead for a man with God as a man pleadeth for his neighbor. Amen. Saved people need to be burdened about lost people. I called Brother Melvin this week. I told him, I said, pray for me. I'm going to a man's house right now. I'm going to try to invite him to revival tonight. That man's name's Larry Everett. I grew up with Larry. I've known him ever since. He wasn't no more than that tall. How I met Larry Everett was about 50 years ago, not that long, maybe 45 years ago. Let's see, I'll be 59 this month. I was probably about 12 years old when Larry Everett took my newspaper route. And I took him on my route and showed him all the houses where I delivered those papers. And from that day, Molly, he's followed me every step of the way. Everywhere I went, Larry went. I mean, I couldn't get rid of him. He's worse than having the fleas or something. I couldn't get rid of him. He's followed me every step. He followed me in drinking. He followed me with a motorcycle riding. He followed me in raising all kinds of manner of mischief there in Glasgow, Kentucky. I mean, wherever I was, Larry was. He followed me at work. He followed me fishing. He followed me hunting. He's followed me everywhere but to the house of God. That's one step Larry hadn't made yet. Someone called me. I've been to Larry's house many times. I know his sister. I know his brother. I know his mother. I've been to the house many times. Someone called me and said, Larry's had a heart attack, Eddie. And he's in intensive care. You ought to go out there and see him. I did. I went out there. When I went into ICU and there lay Larry there, I looked at him and at first observation, I thought Larry's already dead. I mean, he did. He looked like really that they was going to come load him up and carry him out. I mean, his blood coming out of his nose, coming out of his ears. His hair is full of blood, bed full of blood. And I looked at him, and for lack of better words, the sight was more than I could bear, and I just started weeping over him. I thought I'm too late, and I wept over him. I said, oh, Lord, Lord, why didn't you let Larry get saved? And while I'm weeping over Larry, Larry came too. And it scared him and scared me at the same time. I mean, he screamed out like someone come up out of hell. And I have to admit, I stopped to pray, and I looked at him, he looked at me, and I tell you what, buddy, Larry said something very phenomenal. He said, whatever a lost person says. Here's what Larry said. He said, pray for me, that God let me live. And he said, if God lets me live, as soon as I get out of this hospital, I'll come to church and get saved. I fell down right there, buddy. Hallelujah, them's the kind of prayers I like to pray. And I held a problem at all praying. I fell down and I said, oh Lord, let Larry live. Lord, Larry wants to get saved. Let him live. Let him get saved. Lord, please that he reaches in glory. Grant that Larry Bibber can live and come and get saved. And I looked at him, boy, and I mean, he looked a whole lot better already, Sister Margaret. Larry got out of the hospital for that week. And that Sunday come up, Gala, and Larry didn't show up. I thought, no big deal. It's probably going to take him a little while. I mean, here he is. Man, he had looked at me like 1 foot in the grave and the other not too far behind it. Well, the next Sunday come and he didn't come. And I was patient. The Bible does say to wait on the Lord. I was patient. But finally, after a long time, Larry had come. I went down there to his house. I said, Larry, that vow you made, wasn't that real when you said, pray that the Lord let me live, and I'll come and get saved? He said, yeah. And I said, well, Larry, you ain't came yet. I'll be there. Well, that's been probably over 10 years now. And that's his house I was going out to. And I knocked on the door and I couldn't get Larry to come to the door, so using a little wisdom, I took a piece of paper and I wrote, Larry, give me a call, Eddie. And I didn't know what he's asleep, scared, hiding, whatever. But I left that piece of paper on his door. That was Friday morning. This is Sunday morning. He's still yet to call. And I have seen men just like him. I was one myself. Running from God. Running on the run. Man, oh man. That's the wrong direction to run in. Devil loves it when people run from God. Oh me. I remember another man. Leroy Wilson. Y'all heard me give a testimony about Leroy. Been to his house many times. Man, just act like you wasn't there. Just dishonor you. Disrespect you. I mean, just act like you're not even standing there. Not even say anything. And his wife, Audrey, fine Christian woman, come out and talk to Leroy about his soul. He needs to get saved. And I come out there, Leroy, I'd like to talk to you for a minute. Just act like you ain't even there. Leroy, and I'll cut a bunch of this out, but Leroy ended up in the hospital. He also was in intensive care. They called me, Eddie. Leroy was in the hospital, intensive care. Will you go see him? I went out there to the hospital. I've been to Leroy's house so many times, boy. Man, I wasn't really expecting nothing, but I went out there and there he was in intensive care. I believe almost the same room Larry's in. Anyway, I went in there and I said, Leroy, how are you? He said, well, it ain't giving me much hope. I said, Leroy, you ought to get saved, buddy. Your family loves you. I said, Leroy, no matter what, you're going to die, buddy. I'd like to be able to give your family some hope. They love you. They care about you. Leroy just turned his face over that wall over William, act like I wasn't even there. You know what I told him? I said, Leroy, I said, you know why they call this? I got a little mad. I do that. I don't do it a lot, but I do get mad. I got a little bit mad, got a little bit in the flesh. I said, Leroy, I said, you know why they call this ICU? And he turned from looking at Walmart, looked at me, he said, no, why? I said, because Leroy, this may be the last time I see you. I love you, buddy. I like you to get saved. And I turned and walked out of that room, left that on him. Well, years came, got another phone call. Go see Leroy. I went out there, he's in the nursing home. I said, Leroy, did you figure it out yet? God's waiting on you to get saved, giving you opportunity to get saved. Just act like you ain't there, just kept on. Man, dishonor you, disrespect you, just really, for lack of a better word, make you want to get him up and just slap a forehead at him. But anyway, that went on several times, and finally, I quit going. They called me again, the family did. This is my family, Leroy's kin to me, distant kin, but he's my family. They called me again, they said, Eddie, Leroy ain't got long to live. Matter of fact, they don't give him much time at all. Would you go see him one more time? I took the awfulest beating I ever had in my life. I mean, I literally squeezed that steering wheel till I don't know how in the world I kept from breaking off that car to drive out there to that nursing home. Fought off my way all the way through those doors. And I started down that hall and the devil walked right alongside me there, Bobby, and he said, you're wasting your time. You got things you need to do. You know you got things you need to do. You don't need to be wasting no time here. And I for lack of better words, I'm listening to him. And I ain't kidding. I fought the devil tooth and nail all the way back through there. And I finally got back into Leroy's room and opened that door. When I opened that door, Leroy Wilson stuck out a hand to me. It done turned black. I mean, he done had death all over him. His hand done turned black. I never will forget that black hand that he stretched out to me. He said, I'm glad you came. Man, for lack of better words, I couldn't believe what I heard. I said, Leroy, somebody told me he's wanting to get saved. He said, that's right. I said, Leroy, the Bible. You know the Bible says the preparation of hearts of the Lord. Now, y'all listen to me this morning. I'm not no fool. I've been saved. I know what it means to be saved. I've been lost. I know what it's like to be lost. But the Bible said the preparation of heart is of the Lord, and except the Lord build the house, they that labor to build it labor in vain, and salvation's of the Lord. I tell you, all I can do is pray. All I can do is water. God still got to do the saving. Amen.
That's right.
Leroy said, I'm ready. I want to get saved. And I knew, boy, I thought I would put a little scripture with this. So I told him, I said, Leroy, the Bible says, St. John chapter 1, verse 12, that as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on His name. I said, Leroy, are you willing to believe on His name to save you from your sins and be your Savior? He said, yes, I am. And buddy, for lack of better words, we went at it, buddy. Me and him, I got him by the hand. We prayed. And I don't know the other way to say it, but he lit that whole room up. Man, he had the light of God in him. And the Bible does talk about Jesus being the light that lighteth every man. He had it. I mean, his family told me. They said, boy, ain't no missing it. We all got it good. But on the way out, Brother Melvin, I stopped on the way out. I got them nurses up there. I said, guess what? They said, what? I said, Leroy Wilson just got saved. I ran up on women I didn't even know. One of them I did. Mary Morgan. I said, Mary, Leroy Wilson just got saved. Now listen, y'all have a little baby boy, a little girl. Y'all start calling everybody a brother. Guess what? 8-pound boy, 8-pound girl. That's all I'm doing. I'm just making an announcement that Leroy Wilson just got saved. I'm just doing what everybody else does when a baby's born. And I tell you what, the reason I done that, I want them to go back there and say, I heard some good news about you. I want Leroy to be able to tell him that the Lord has saved him. Amen. He didn't have long after that. It wasn't very long at all. But glory to God, he got in. I'll tell you what, I believe we need to get more of a burden. If you don't have one, why not pray for one? Listen, if you're lacking one, why not get down and say, Lord, I want to be concerned about people going to hell and break my heart and give me a burden that I might be able to go on the hedges and highways and hurt them up and get them in. Amen. I'll tell you what, boy. Church has lost its vision for lost souls. That's the reason we're down here. If you have to turn the TV off, turn it off. If you have to turn the cell phone off, turn it off. If you got to turn the computer off, turn it off. And get down and pray, man. Those loved ones, they're going to go to hell if you don't. I'll tell you what, buddy. We've lost our vision. I'm going to show you some phenomenal things here this morning. I wasn't even aware of this myself. But I stand corrected in Acts chapter number 10. The reason I'm going there is because it tells pretty much what I'm trying to say. Acts chapter 10 verse 9, it says, and this is talking about Peter, said on the morrow as they went on their journey and drew nigh to the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Now here's a saved man. And he's doing what saved men ought to do. He's praying. But as he prays, verse 10 said he fell into a trance and he saw heaven open and a vessel descending to him as it been a great sheet net at the four corners, and it leapt down to the earth, and wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air, and there came a voice to him saying, Peter, rise, kill and eat. But Peter said, no, not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything that's common or unclean. Listen, verse 15. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, what God has cleansed, call thou not common. Sometimes we just don't understand the love of God. I'll tell you this morning, it probably won't have the effect on you it had with me. I listened to Glenn Denton preach this morning. I am going to try to get the tape. I needed it. Hillcrest Baptist Church, you'll try to get it yourself. But he preached this morning, and he talked about while he was preaching. He said a little boy was up there in the front of the church up there, and he had a car. And he'd go this way, and he'd go that way, and he was, you know, through the whole service, just taking that little car and having the best time ever was. Glenn said it was a messing with him, and it was meddling with his thoughts and interrupting his thoughts. And he said, young man, quit that. The little boy started crying. He went back there with the lady that brought him. After the service, the lady that brought him came up and talked to Glenn, and she said, I'm sorry. She brought a whole carload of children to church. And, they're hanging out the windows. I look at you to get the tape, and you listen to it, and you might hear better than what I did, but I'll give you my best opinion of what I heard. But he said she brought all kinds of little boys and little girls to church, and anyway, they come, they're barefoot and everything else. But the lady that brought that little boy, she said, Glenn, he's retarded. She said, I'm sorry that he caused any problem. He just wanted to come to church, and I didn't think it'd be no problem. I thought it'd be all right. Listen, the little boy couldn't help himself, is what I'm trying to say. And then she went on to say, Glenn, Them little girls that I bring, she said, Glenn, they don't have no underwear on. They ain't got no shoes on. They're dirty. They stink. They can't help it. They're poor. I'm poor. I can't help them. They can't help it. We're just poor. Glenn said, I got about that tall.
Amen.
He said the church was poor. They didn't have no money. He said he was poor. He didn't have no money. But he said, I'll tell you one thing. He said, somehow or another, we're going to get them little girls some shoes. We're going to get them some dresses. We're going to get them some things that they need. And I'll tell you what, buddy, I saluted heaven. I said, amen. I said, Lord, help me to have that kind of heart to know how to tell a difference between a situation like that. The little boy is retarded. You know, Austin, one time, he was over here and he's got a little bit of a behavior problem. He's up here just having a ball and it don't bother me a bit. Matter of fact, a few times I thought he was going to help me preach. But God help a man of God. Have a little compassion about little children that don't know no better, that can't help themselves. But I'll tell you what, you need to get that and listen to that. Glenn Denton done a good job this morning getting through my thick head. It ain't always what it seems to be. I had to admit, I recollect on a few times that I had misinterpreted situations. But oh me, as a church, God, we've got to get a burden. As a church, we've got to get a vision, amen. And God told Peter, don't you call unclean what I've cleansed, amen. Sometimes, but I have to be corrected. Peter got a little bit of a correction there. But I'm not done here. Then, if you look over in verse number 20, well, let's read more than just verse number 20. Let's start at verse number 17. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there, were lodged there. Now, listen to this. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing. I've sent them, amen. Sometimes God sends them. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Man, we have visitors show up over here, and I don't know what to say or do, but I'll tell you one thing. I know what not to do. I know to wait and see whether they're sent of God or not. I do believe there's probably some crept in unawares that probably not what they seem to be. But for the most part, I try to give them the benefit of the doubt. But God said, I sent them to you. Go with them. Amen. I want to drop on down here. This is the thing I said I stood corrected. If you look down here, verse number 30. This is where I didn't understand. Cornelius is a lost man. Now, I know what the Bible says that God heareth not sinners. I know, and I've been taught and been persuaded that there's only one prayer that God will hear from a lost man. That's the prayer to be forgiven, to be saved. I've been raised that all my life. Well, I stand corrected, and I'll take the Bible and prove it. Look at here in verse number 30. Here's a lost man. Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I fasted until this hour. And at the ninth hour, he said, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in white clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. A lost man. Can you imagine that? And thine alms. Brother Bevan said he started paying tithe before he ever even got saved. Thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. He said, send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. I wasn't aware of Cornelius praying and being heard. He said, verse 33, immediately, therefore I sent to thee, that thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore, listen to this. We're all here. Whew, I like being a meeting like that. Woo! Hey, we're all here for one reason. We're all here present before God to hear all the things that are commanded thee of God. Verse 34, Peter opened his mouth. Man, you talking about an opportunity to preach. Here's lost people. And the only reason they want him is because they want to hear about heaven and mercy and grace and salvation. They're all gathered. Peter opens his mouth and said of the truth, I perceive that God's no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. That's pretty profound. It means tell me that lost people can get approval of God. He said the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He's Lord of all. Here Peter is, boy, you're talking about an opportunity. They had what I guess you call an unscheduled revival without even having a business meeting. Here they are, buddy. I mean, God set this whole service in order. And He said, the word I say, you know, which was published throughout all of Judea, began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with them. And we are witnesses of all these things which He had both done in the land of Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree, Him God raised up the third day and showed Him over. That's the gospel. It is. Death, burial, resurrection. There it is. God raised Him up the third day and showed Him openly. Not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before God, even to us, who did eat and drink with Him after He rose from the dead. That's confirmation of the gospel. And He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that He is He, that is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. To Him give all the prophets witness that through His name, whosoever, there's that word you need to look for. If you're a lost person, put your name right there. That whosoever believeth in Him shall have remission of sins. You can believe in Jesus and get saved. Now verse 44, you see the effect of this preaching. I mean, Peter just preached the truth. Man, he gave the gospel. That's the gospel message. I'll tell you what, now that's the gospel, you ain't going to get saved. But while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. How many got saved? They all did. Boy, I'd like to be in a meeting like that, Brother Melvin. Can you imagine all the lost people coming up at one time? Woo! Getting saved, glory to God. I'll tell you one thing, when God sets a meeting order, when God sets a table, there's something on there for everybody. I remember, boy, at Bethel Baptist Church, it seemed like God made that table just for me, and I had to testify every service, and said I needed that. That was just for me. But there'd be three or four back behind me and said I needed that too. It was for me, amen. When God set the table, I'll tell you what, it's thoroughly furnished. But I'll tell you right now, buddy, listen. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. They of the circumcision, that's the Jews, which believed were astonished. Sometimes God will astonish you. God don't always do things like Brother Eddie thinks. Sometimes He'll do a new thing. Sometimes He'll show something else by His glory. They were astonished. And as many as came with Peter, they were astonished. Because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now if you know your Bible, I'll help you out here, so you won't get carried away. It was necessary for these Gentiles to speak in tongues. The Bible says that tongues were given for a sign, because the Jews require a sign. Now listen, I'm not no Pentecostal. I'm smarter than that. I know the Bible says you all speak with tongues. And I'll tell you this. You read your Bible, you check it out, you prove Brother Eddie wrong if you can. You will never, ever, ever find anywhere in your Bible that anybody spoke with tongues that there was not an unbelieving Jew present and they believed and got saved. Because that was the evidence of the Holy Spirit. The gift of tongues. Now it's misconstrued today, and I hear people singing, "Be my salable." And I say, well, yeah, whatever. And I'll be honest with you, I've never spoken in tongues, and I certainly don't want to be an abomination to that. If somebody speaks in tongues, if God's in it, glory to God. If God's not in it, I don't want none of it. But I'll tell you this, as a saved man, I'm as saved as any man you've ever heard. Ain't nobody got nothing on me. I'll be honest with you, I'm complete in Him. I ain't lacking nothing. But I've never spoken in tongues. I've seen people speak in tongues. I've been in the presence of people who fell out speaking in tongues. It's a mess most of the time, but I have heard it. But I'll tell you one thing, it'll line up like this right here, or it ought not be. There were unbelieving Jews present. You see there, it told why they believed. Here's why those Jews believed in the salvation of these Gentiles. It said they heard them. They heard them speak. They heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, "Can any man forbid water which these should not be baptized which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we?" You see, the evidence was overwhelming. God did come to the Jews. He came to His own first. They received Him not, and He turned us Gentiles. And one day He's going to turn back to the Jews. But right now, here's a lost man. His prayer is heard. His arms are honored. He's getting saved. He's speaking in tongues. These are circumcised Jews. Now they're astonished. They can't believe it. Peter can't believe it. He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they Him to tarry certain days. Now that wasn't a welcomed event. Peter got in all kind of trouble over that. But that's the right kind of trouble. Those Jews come and confront him about that. Next chapter he said, "What was I to do?" I mean, buddy, you can't fight with God. You can't argue with God. Whatever God's doing, disagree with it. If God's in it, be in it. Amen. He said, "What was I to do?" And they left off arguing with him. And they said that God's poured out the... He said, "As I began to speak," in next chapter, chapter 11, verse 15, he says, "As I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how He said, 'John indeed will baptize with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost.' For as much then as God gave them the gift as He did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that could withstand God? And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God. Then said also, 'The Gentiles God has granted repentance unto life.'" Sometimes things don't make sense. But God showed me something here this morning. They all got saved. We need vision. We need to pray. We need to understand, buddy. People ain't going to make it if we don't get down and pray. Now, let me get on the second point. Lost people, they've lost their tremble. I'll elaborate on it in just a minute. But I do remember the first time I come to church as a lost man. I remember, boy, all the things that went through my mind. I remember, man, first thing I thought my wife told him everything I've ever done. I got mad. But I'll tell you what, buddy, before this service went, I started trembling in my heart about eternity and where I was going to spend it at. The lost people today have lost their tremble. And I'll elaborate on it here in just a minute. All through that Bible there, you read about men that have trembled. About the fact that they wasn't ready. As a matter of fact, Friday night, I already knew the Lord was leading me to preach this message. But I was over Friday night, and they sung the song, "Near the Cross," written by Fanny Crosby. It said, "Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. There the bright and morning star shed its beams around me." A trembling soul. The song Fanny Crosby also wrote at Calvary. "By God's word, at last my sin I learned. Then I trembled at the lights burned till my guilty soul imploring turned to Calvary." We've lost that tremble. Now we sit there now, and I ain't kidding, I probably could bring a stick of dynamite and throw it in here and nobody would still move. But I want to show you what happens when people do tremble. In Acts chapter number 9, verse number 6, the Bible says Saul trembled. Man, he just run into Jesus. He's been killing Christians. He's been persecuting Christians. He run into Jesus, had to ask Him who He was, and the Lord said, "I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest." Verse 5, "It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks." Verse 6, here Saul is, and he trembled and astonished, said, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" Here's a lost man having a trembling conversation with God. You know where that came from? Acts chapter number 7, verse number 60. They stoned Stephen. They've left their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. He's consenting to this stoning. But as they're stoning this great Christian, this deacon, Stephen, as they're stoning him, they hear him say, "Lord, lay not this sin to the charge." He kneeled down, and the Bible said with a loud voice, he said, "Lord, lay not this sin to the charge." There's a praying Christian. Now here's a lost man. Run into Jesus and he's trembling. He's trembling. Let me say this morning, lost people, lost your tremble. Somehow or another you're sitting out at naught. Somehow or another you think you've arrived. Acts chapter number 16. You look over there. Acts 16. You got a Philippian jailer, verse 29. He comes in, and he came in trembling, fell down before Paul and Silas. And he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" But understand this, buddy, he's trembling. Man, it's become real to him. You know what caused that? If you look up there, verse number 25, he said at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. They sang praises unto God. There's two parts to this thing. The church needs to have a vision and a burden, but also the lost people need to have a trembling soul for eternity, amen. I'll tell you what, buddy. Saul got turned into Paul. This Philippian jailer got saved and all his house. Verse number 31, they gave him the simplicity of the salvation message. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. And he got saved, amen. But also, listen, Acts chapter 24, verse 24. After certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul, heard him concerning his faith in Christ. Here's a lost man seeking. He wants to hear about this Jesus. Verse 25, Paul here talking to Felix as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. The Bible said, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee." Let me tell you something, buddy. There ain't no convenient season. The Bible said today is the day of salvation. It said now is the accepted time. It says thou knowest not what a day may bring. Boast not of tomorrow. I'm telling you, tomorrow is only on the account of fools. Those that are saved, I've got tomorrow and then eternity, man. But if you're here lost, you have no promise of tomorrow. But I'll tell you one thing, buddy. Felix, he inquired about this Jesus. He wanted to hear about this faith that Paul had in Jesus. And as he told him about it, Felix had the first work of salvation. He trembled, but he didn't follow through. And I'll tell you right now, nothing else is said. And it tells me one thing, that Felix came now to get saved and split eternity in a devil's hell. Amen. He said, "When I have a more convenient season, I'll call for thee." Boy, I've heard that a lot. I'll surprise you someday. Someday when you're least expecting, I'll show up, yeah, in a coffin carried by six men. We'll have your funeral. Oh, the roof would fall in if I came. We'll fix it. We've got money. Oh, what will people think if I come? Well, they think if you die lost. Amen. It ain't no fun. I preach a lost funeral. It ain't no fun. Hey, you say something good about somebody, there ain't nothing good to say about it. I mean, buddy, they died in their sins, and their sins condemned them in the sight of the holy God of heaven, and they came up short. How are you going to say something good? I remember my cousin. I used to plead with him to get saved. Molly, he'd come out of my house, one bar in my trailer. And he hated to come out there. He knew all I was going to talk about was Jesus. But he needed to borrow my trailer. They was moving. He just got married. You know how it is. You beg a bond. You live somewhere to the rent's due and you move somewhere else. He wanted to borrow my trailer. And he come out there and I said, "Steve, I love you, buddy. You're more than welcome to borrow my trailer. As a matter of fact, keep it as long as you need it." And I started out there across the yard with him, helped him hook it up. I said, "Steve," I seen his knees buckle. I said, "You need to get saved, buddy. I've been praying for you. I'd like for you to get saved, Steve." Steve married Tammy. They had a little girl, Ruth Ann. Ruth Ann Ford. Boy, his heart was wrapped up in that little baby. He loved that little baby more than life itself. Steve had a little bit of a problem. That little bit of a problem led to his demise. You know, there's always something you hold on to. Somebody said, "I'd get saved, but I got to clean up a little bit. I gotta get cleaned up a little bit, and then I'll get saved. Let me straighten my ways up." Forget it. You can't. If you could, you'd done it. Who are you fooling? Steve had a little bit of problem. He liked to roll them cigarettes that's pouring on both ends. The devil, he uses whatever he can. He don't care whether it's a pointed on each end cigarette. They call them a joint, roach. Man, what a name. He had a little bit of a problem. He said, I don't see nothing wrong with it. I don't either. Cause him to go to hell. I'll elaborate on that here in just a minute. The devil don't care whether it's a bottle, a can. He don't care whether it's a joint, some woman, some bad habit. He don't care. The Bible said he's sports and his deceiving. As a matter of fact, he's going to say, see that over there, got him fishing on Sunday. Oh, he wasn't thinking about dying. Drowned it. See that over there? He fell out of deer stand on a Sunday. Fell asleep, fell down, broke his neck, cried out, and there wasn't none to hear. Going to sport in his deceivings. Well, let me tell you about my cousin Steve. He didn't want me to talk to him about Jesus, but I still put forth all the effort I could. When news came to me that Steve got killed, when I heard about it, I mean, it just lined up with the Bible. He'd have been often reproved, hardened up his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. I mean, it wasn't too hard to get conclusive about what happened. Steve was a truck driver. He drove a truck just like Anthony and Melissa, and he was up in Indiana, and his truck broke down. You call it coincidence if you want. See, God allows you so much time. He gave Jezebel space to repent. Now, I don't know where Steve's line was, but I believe he's right there at the line, Molly. And I believe God said, buddy, that's enough. You don't want to get saved? I'll show you what the consequences are. I ain't God. I'll just tell you what I think about it. But they told me that Steve's truck broke down. And they said this guy from Glasgow, a friend of his, come up there with his wrecker hooked on to Steve's truck. And man, he's in the wrecker and he's as safe could be. But the devil had something else in mind. And Steve asked that wrecker man, would you mind if I go back there in my truck, get something out of my truck? You got a problem with that? Well, what would you say? He said, no, I don't reckon. And Steve and this man got out to go back there and get this little old bag. Now, I never did smoke dope, so y'all may know the name. I don't know, whatever. Yeah, it's pot. I do know that. But I don't know, they call it nickel bag or something. I don't know. Anyway, he went back there to get that stuff makes you feel good, you know. I mean, there is pleasure in sin for a season. I agree. I'm not going to say it ain't, because that's why most people do sin. There's pleasure in it. But it's for a season. And it ain't talking about a football season either. But anyway, he went back there to get this bag of stuff out of Steve's truck after he got the okay. And a certain drunk man from out of Wild Blue Yonder, I mean, they're in the emergency lane. Traffic's going by. They're in the emergency lane. They use good sense. They're on the outside of the truck from all the traffic and walk down through there to get this pleasure of sin. And a drunk driver, a certain drunk driver, kind of like that bow that drew back that arrow that smote Ahab. A certain man drew back his bow at venture and let it go when that arrow directed by God smote him between the harness of his armor. That drunk driver hit my cousin Steve and they said he went up in the air 30 feet. What do you do? What do you do when you're up in the air 30 feet? Man, you start thinking about all the times you spurned the invitation. Then you start down. And here's this big truck right down below you, this big 18-wheel, I don't know how many ton truck it is, just waiting. When Steve smacked that truck, out of here, boy. Out of here. They had a closed casket. My grandmother refused to die without seeing her precious grandson. We begged her not to. She said, no, I will see him before I die. They opened that lid of that coffin, and I thought was going to have a double hitter. I never seen no one more distraught than that woman in my entire life. She could not be comforted. She could not be comforted. I believe it took years off of her life. The man on the wrecker, he got hit also. Broke his leg about five or six places, but he lived. He's the one that lived to tell about this event. That's how I knew about it. Felix said, when I got a more convenient season, I'll call for you. You better do it quick. Because just like sand in an hourglass, it just lasts so long. You forget about making that phone call when the sand runs out. Well, back years ago, they used to trample Brother Melvin. They used to hold on to the tent poles while men preached and cry. Say, somebody go with me, I got to get saved. Yeah. Oh boy, what a dry day we're living in. No tears for the lost. So little praying. So little real preaching. Man, we got them ear ticklers, you know. Men pleasers. Man, I wished I did look like Joel Osteen. I'd like to have his look and have the anointing of God upon me. Preach the Word of God. Man, I don't even look like a saved man, much less a preacher. I looked at my mug this morning. I worked on it best I could. I wanted to get a haircut like Donnie. I looked at you this morning. And I thought, man, I should have got a haircut yesterday. I wanted to. I'm going to. But I'll tell you what, boy. No trembling of the soul of the lost person today. That scared me more. If I was a lost person here this morning, and I didn't have no trembling in my heart, no trembling in my soul about eternity, that'd scare me more than anything. Yeah. I'd come up here if nothing else. I'd just say, Lord, I just want you to know I do want to get saved. I do want you to know I am wanting to go to heaven. I do want you to know that I'm putting forth some effort, whether you save me or not. I just want you to know I do want to get saved. If you don't this morning, and I do end up doing your funeral, I won't have no comfort to give. I won't have no good news to share. Tammy, my cousin's wife, came to me. Broke. She said, tell me my husband went to heaven. She knew the answer. What's she coming to me for? She wanted me to lie to her. She and I both knew where my cousin Steve Ford went. I was at his funeral. It was terrible. My pastor done it. It was hard on him. How do you give somebody comfort when there's none to give? Father, thank you for the message this morning. I thank you, Father, for the clarity of thought. I thank you, Father, you've confirmed everything I've said this morning by the witness of the Word of God and the witness of the Holy Spirit. And I do pray, Father, this morning for the lost people that are here and also for the lost people that hear this message on the Internet. I do pray that they'll come to themselves. I pray they'll redeem the time. I pray they'll realize that they need to get saved and that right quickly. Not be like Felix that trembled and said, when I've got a more convenient season, I'll call for you. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' blessed name, we ask for this help. Amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand. I do beseech you this morning. Listen. Think about what's been said this morning. Think eternal thoughts. Don't think about what time it is. Don't think about the weather. Don't think about what I look like, what I smell like. Just think about eternity here this morning. Are you going to spend eternity where you want to? Or are you going to spend eternity where you don't want to? You know what will make a difference in that? This altar. Oh, brother, it won't make no difference. Well, the Lord's been trying to improve me. The Lord said, come. He said, all that come to me, all in the wise turn away. He said, he that receiveth me, receiveth my Father. I'm telling you, buddy, there's no problem on you. The problem is the devil's got your feet down to the floor, and you won't, or you can't move them. I say this morning, if somebody by the hand said, go with me. I've been needing to do this for a long time. I've put this off too long already, and no more am I going to put this off. Won't you come this morning? Listen, I thank the Lord. I told Brother Melvin, I said, Brother Melvin, the Lord gave me a message this morning. He burned it in my heart for lost people. And I'm glad you want me to love people there. And what am I supposed to do? I've done my part. He gave the message. You'll hear it. You heard it. What are you going to do now? It'll make a difference. I'll tell you right now, it'll make a difference. God bless you, Brother William. I like the example Brother William sets here. You know what he's doing? He's showing how easy it is to come up here. He'll not be alone. There'll be somebody up here praying with him. I get down there and pray with him, but I feel more led of God right now to plead with those in between death and life, in between eternity, between heaven and hell. You're going to break out right now. Just simple, like them little children show you. just walk down here and call upon Him that's rich in mercy. Father, call upon Him and get a refuge for your soul. Man, we got a man right now holding a little 5-year-old boy. 4 foot down to the ground in a bunker. That little boy's going to heaven. Something happened to him, he'll go to heaven, Father. So he don't know the Ten Commandments. And the Bible said, well, the law said not to give. But there was a man who knew the Ten Commandments. And I knew I was guilty. I knew that I had broken the law of God. Paul said, I had not known sin, but by the law, he said, the law said, thou shalt not come. By that law is acknowledgement of sin. I want you to know, pardon you by Jesus Christ. You can't keep those things right. They're there to show you you're not perfect. They're there to show you you've come short. God bless you, Brother William. Those Ten Commandments back there, they need to be there. They need to stay there. We need to put them back up in the schools. I'm telling you, the law says you're guilty. But the grace of God says, come, I'll forgive you. The grace of God says, come, I'll save you. The grace of God says, come, we'll reason together. We'll talk about it. We'll work it out. You don't come, I promise you this. No hope. No way. No way. You'll amen the sentence. You know what you'll say? You'll say, I should have come. I should have asked. I should have repented. I should have confessed. Eternity is a long time to repent. But I promise you, down in hell, the greatest prayer meeting that ever has been is still going on today. And they're praying, send someone to warn them lest they come to this dreadful place of torment. On our website, that message I preached on the torments of hell, it's visited at least 1,600 times a month. Why? I have no idea. You'd think that'd be a message no one would even want to hear, much less hear more than once. 1,600 times a month, that message is this. I do believe today there are people who still care about people going to hell. I believe there are saved people who want to hear the message so they can maintain a burden. I believe there's lost people who want to hear the message so they can somehow escape the damnation that's to come. But for whatever reason, that message right there is downloaded every month more than any and visited every month more than any. What about you this morning? Oh, we're not going to have no service tonight. Wouldn't that be something to go to hell from a service like this? You're sitting there trembling, your heart beating like a jungle drum, and you're trying somehow to shake it, somehow just to put it off. Go to hell from a service like this. Man, oh man, oh man. You come this morning. I love you. I was on my knees this morning, 3 o'clock, calling your name after God, begging God for you to be here, begging God for you to get saved. That's about all I can do. I can plead with you, preach to you, and pray for you, but that's about it. But I want you to know I love you this morning. I'm going to pray the Lord to give you another service, give you another opportunity. Sure am. Maybe somebody got a word on their heart this morning. Thank you for coming. I wasn't expecting this many people, but I'm glad for everybody that came. Anybody got a word on your heart?
I love the Lord this morning. I thank you for shedding the blood for me. I remember when I was a sinner. Satan will tell you everything.
Yeah, he will.
He will keep you in your shoes.
Bless you, Mom.
To the floor. But you know, once you make that step,
yeah,
myself,
that first step,
I'm sure I felt so tall once I got that load off my shoulder, and I thought, oh, What a Savior.
God bless you, Molly.
I love you today.
Well, I appreciate what she said. She said when you make that first step, I have actually seen people that actually stepped out and got saved before they ever even got to the altar. Just because they was willing to make that first step. I appreciate you saying that because I done forgot about that. I remember some men that I saw that actually got saved before they ever even got to the altar. Just because they was willing to step in the right direction. The Bible says you have not because you ask not. Oh, me.
One thing about the world, they give it to you, but it won't go with you.
She's right.
It won't go with you.
Yeah. You're right,
Mom. If the Savior gives you, they'll go all the way.
Yeah, the old devil, he'll give you, but he'll take it back. He's an Indian giver.
You have a third, hungry thirst after us, and shall be filled.
That's right. That's right.
You got a hunger, you got a thirst, you got a want to be.
That's right.
And they were seeking the whole heart. That's what it takes to be saved. I went to older, I wasn't thirsting that much. I'm only 24 years old, but I went anyway.
Yeah, Lord honored that too.
There's heaven, there's hell, and I'm a kid. My family members told me about this. I was told they put the fear of God in my heart.
Yeah, boy.
And I never get over it either. I'm glad I didn't, you know.
Amen.
But I'll tell you what, we got to get hungry. We got to see ourselves.
Sure enough.
I'll tell you what, a lot of people see what I see and what we know, but they've been at all. But I'll tell you what, the serious thing is.
I appreciate it. Eternity
right. Forever and ever and ever and ever, no end. That's the serious thing I can think of, you know. And I sure don't go to that bad place. And I've had that long time ago. Don't regret a minute serving the Lord. Now, I've never heard nobody yet.
Me neither, brother.
Say that they're sorry.
Me neither.
They feel that Holy Spirit, they don't know what to talk. They'll get
alone. That's right.
You can't explain it to get it.
Yeah, man, he's right. Holy Grail, I got. I wish I'd done it sooner.
You know how I felt when I got saved? I felt I could just touch
the sky. Yeah, me too.
Walking tall, boy.
I couldn't. I'll be left no footprints for about 6 months. Man, I felt like walking on clouds.
Right there.
Yeah.
Now
look what you've done. You made a big mess out of yourself.
He'll make these things pleasure. Sin looks wonderful.
Yeah. I hadn't felt this way before, you know.
Amen.
I know what I had.
Amen. Amen.
I'll tell you what, I found something wonderful.
There's nothing like this clean.
God bless you.
I mean, clean you can't describe.
Hey, we're not no hurry. I don't really mean that to you. I'm not. Yes, y'all are. I certainly want to honor that, but we're not in no hurry. We're not going to service tonight. Let's have a good
one. I was lighting my feet the next day. I was high in spirit. I didn't feel like it.
Wasn't picking no dust.
I didn't feel like it was 50 pounds. I'll tell you what, boy, I was almost floating there. And men got experience, didn't know what I'm talking about there, you know.
Amen.
Almost one.
I remember as a young boy being afraid to close my eyes, go to sleep. I was afraid. I was so afraid because I knew where I'd go if I died during my sleep. Mama used to come back there and we'd pray. And I already didn't know much about anything, but I remember we prayed. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I awake, I pray the Lord my soul would take. You know, I got to thinking about dying before I awake. Mm-hmm. And it really did. It got the best of me. Boy, I remember boy, being afraid to close my eyes. I was so afraid that I might wake up in hell. We're missing it today.
Yeah.
We're missing it. We sure are.
I saw him pray. I didn't pray as much as I should for that guy. I guess anybody there promised to get saved.
Then right,
I saw him
here.
Pray for him and also the people here today. Let's pray to get saved. Let's pray to get earnest for a lot of people.
Amen. Larry Riverton needs to get saved. If he'll get saved, he'll be just like Eddie Wade.
Yeah.
He's just ripping the cob just like I was. I'd give anything if he gets saved. Are we done?
You
I love
you.
Yeah.
If something goes wrong with you. If there's a fire in this building, we've got all this to get out.
I'll make one.
In hell, there is no
exit. It's true. No exit.
It says out of darkness.
Yeah.
I tell you, that sounds like a dark place to me. You
yeah.
can see.
Yeah.
But all the world has for me is for me to live here till my time comes.
Bless you, Molly.
And when my time comes, I won't look back. And I wish people here on earth could see that.
God bless you.
I mean, you could have it to the top of the roof. You ain't got nothing.
Bless you,
Christ, heart. Because it's all going to be destroyed. All of it.
She's saying, what would it profit you if you gained the whole world and lost your soul? That's what she's saying like that.
But anyone with common sense knows that you got to have these things.
God bless you.
But
those tears run down her cheeks right now.
He gives them to you. Just
what a blessing.
For a short time.
God bless you, Molly. Here. True saint of God right there.
Just when you get on the other side, this stuff won't mean a thing to you because you're not going to look back. You're not going to look back. Or I know I'm not. I can't wait to get there.
God bless
you. Seems like the older I get, the closer.
Woo! Hallelujah! It's starting to get real up here, boys. And I'm just sitting here thinking about making a big run down Golden Streets of Glory.
Because we can be here for a second in His presence next. And I want to live my life to please Him.
Woo!
No man. No
Holy
man. No man.
For a honor,
no
I will come out. Amen.
His blood was shed for me just like everybody.
Amen.
And when I accepted Him back some time ago, that was real. And today He's just real to me as He was when I accepted
Him. Amen. Same here.
I love Him today. And God I bless you, Mom. I'm not going to live my life no other way. I might not look
God bless you.
Amen.
God bless you. Boy, I tell you what, I wish I could have held a mirror up. Y'all could have held what I beheld. Amen. If we're done, we'll leave. If we're not, I'll be glad to stay as long as y'all want to stay.
I'm not here to please no one, and I'm not here to make no show. But I know what's in my heart.
Amen. Paul said, I know in whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Can you say that this morning? If not, why are you sitting there?
In heaven, it says, no wise seen
or
heard.
No wise seen.
Neither heaven into the heart of man.
I'd like to get there with Brother Melvin. Get there and just watch him. I'm trying to keep up with him, I guess. Woo! Take off, boy, running. I think they're for heaven's sake. There comes another one of them new ones. There they go. Watch them. They'll go down yonder and here they'll come like that old dog. If somebody let go, they'll run, trip over the front legs, they'll sit and they'll run again.
Like Dalton sang that one song, kick it up gold dust.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to take everybody with them for kids, but they're going to make you charge for the day.
Amen.
And I hope they make the right charge.
Well, I thank the Lord for the message this morning. I mean that not just because the Lord gave it to me. But I'll tell you right now, boy, God gave that message this morning. I hope you be more than a hearer of that message.
Yeah.
I hope you be a doer of that message. Listen, I don't care if they ever delayed your action. You have to call Brother Eddie and say, Brother Eddie, just want you to know I got saved. And I'll tell you this, if you do, my phone number is 270-646-7019. A girl at that work said, how can I remember your number? I said, I look like I'm 70, but I feel like I'm 19. She said, I can remember that.
Get your number, call me, and I'll give you a ticket.
Yeah. I do hope for you get saved. I love you. Man, what a blessing it's been to be here today.
Call me too.
If we're done, let's all stand. And
don't forget to pray for that little boy.
Little five-year-old.
That God will intervene.
Yeah. Yeah, that's bad. And that stuff's going on all over the place. They're finding little boys, little girls. And I don't even want to elaborate on it, but it's our shame that our nation has stooped so low. And I am going to preach on that, just not today. Brother Melvin, dismiss us word of prayer, brother.
Thank you, Lord, for salvation. For the plan of salvation, Lord, and you tell us.